We're going to confess our sins to our merciful Heavenly Father this morning, and we're going to look to the words of Psalm 51, verses 5 through 9. So please turn there, and we're going to read those verses, Psalm 51, 5 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Psalm 51 as we confess our sins, since this is David's confession, inspired by the Spirit of God to guide us in our confession of sin as well. And we learn thing after thing, important doctrine after important doctrine in these words of Psalm 51. And as we enter this new section, we're going to look at verse 5 this morning, where David says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We often think of this verse when it comes to the doctrine of original sin. This is one of the key verses that teaches us that our state of sinfulness is not something that we simply pick up by imitation, although we do pick some things up by imitation, but it goes deeper than that. Our sinfulness goes back to the point of our very birth and our very conception in the womb of our mother because of that inherited sin from our father Adam, passed down after generation to generation. And it's from that root that these sins in our lives flow. And I think the reason David brings this out here is to not to say in his confession, Lord, this is a recent issue that I have stumbled upon. You know that I have been a righteous man from my birth, and yet it's just these last couple months that I have actually strayed from your ways. No, David is saying this goes back to the very beginning. This is my very nature, Lord. If you will not cleanse me of this nature, this is who I am. I need your salvation. I need you to restore the joy of my salvation that you have given to me. And the scriptures teach repeatedly that this sin nature goes all the way back to birth. And I could read passage after passage, but I'll just read Ephesians 2, verse 3. When Paul is speaking about God's mercy poured out upon the Ephesians, he says, your past life was with the rest of the world. Ephesians 2, verse 3, he says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is the nature of mankind since the fall, but it is the glory of God in the gospel of Christ that he renovates that nature, transforms it, raises us up, and makes us like Christ, perfectly holy once we reach glory. And he's at work in us right now. So what does verse 5 teach us about confession? Well, verse 5, first of all, teaches us that we should reject the temptation to blame the environmental factors around us when it comes to our sin. We have a tendency, just as Adam and Eve did, to blame shift. And we want to say it was this problem, it was that person. If they had not been there, this temptation would not have come and I would not have sinned. Therefore, you should look at these other things. But David doesn't do that. He says, it's in me. It comes from my very nature that this has flowed out. It's not a surprise, in fact, that this has happened. Going back to the early church, it was the British monk Pelagius who had suggested the idea that no one is really born in sin at all, but we simply learn sin through imitation. And there's not this root sin nature that's inherited from Adam. We just happen to live among sinners, and so, you know, people will act like those around them. Now, there's much scripture that would contradict this, but I'm personally convinced that if Pelagius had had the benefit of having children, he would not have believed this doctrine, because his experience would have taught him repeatedly that this goes back very far. It does not require imitation. Children sin very, very young. It's very evident to us that have young children. And so this tendency, though, to say it's these other factors, it's not in me, is a deeply rooted temptation that we must avoid when we confess our sins. James 4 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" And what could have the people there answered? They could have said, "Oh, it's the other person. It's that issue going on around me that has caused this." But James says, here's where it comes from. They come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. And so he says, where does it come from? You've been blaming other people, but it's within you that the problem has come. And so when we confess our sins, we need to join David and say, "Lord, I have sinned against you, and it's because I am a sinful man from birth that this has come. This is coming out of this corrupt root that I want you to completely transform." We don't blame others. We look inward. Secondly, if the problem of sin is so deeply rooted in our nature from birth, this will guard us against going after solutions that do not get to the root problem. Going after solutions that do not really fix the problem that is so deeply rooted. If our very nature is corrupted from birth, then you need a complete resurrection, a complete renovation, a complete transformation to be that new man, that new woman. And it's only going to come by the work of the Holy Spirit. Imagine cutting down a tree about 5 feet in diameter. That's not so hard. You can cut down that 5 foot tree, the 5 foot tree in diameter, but then you have this problem of this stump. It's a very deep, large, deeply rooted stump. And what would you do to get that stump out? Well, you could take a garden shovel and just hack at it for years. Hack at that stump. Or maybe you could do something more effective. You could get power. You could get dynamite and blow the stump out, and it would actually go to the root problem and remove it. Well, likewise, when it comes to the sin that is rooted in our nature, if we realize how deeply rooted the problem is, then we will not be satisfied with these surface-level solutions. Really, what this means, brothers and sisters, in our confession is that we cry out for the power of God to work. Because if the problem is so deeply rooted, then it's going to take a powerful, powerful force to change us. And that powerful force is the work of the Spirit of God applying the work of Jesus Christ to us. I'm encouraged by the words of Romans 8. Paul speaks about in Romans 8 the sinfulness of our nature, but he says this in Romans 8, 10 through 11. He says, "If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And so he's saying, okay, you have this deadness that stems from this fallen nature, but there is a powerful Spirit, and that powerful Spirit raised Christ from the dead, and it is the very same Spirit that dwells in you. And that same Spirit will give life to you. He will bring forth righteousness, as the next two verses say, Romans 8, verse 13, "If you do mortify the deeds of the body by the Spirit, you will live." And so then, in our prayers of confession, we confess, first of all, this is a deeply rooted problem, Lord. It goes back to my very birth. And then secondly, we pray, God, transform me. Renovate that nature. Completely root out the remnants of corruption. I need your power, O God, to do these things. And that's exactly what David prays in the verses that follow in Psalm 51. He says, "Give me a clean heart. Give me a steadfast spirit. Restore the joy of my salvation. Open my lips and I will show forth thy praise." He's praying for God to work in him. And so we must do the same as we confess our sins. Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are sinners, and it's this sin nature inherited from Adam that is the root of these sins. Lord, we have been corrupt from birth, and we desire that you work in us a new nature, the likeness of Christ, our risen Lord and Redeemer. And we are thankful that we have this powerful Holy Spirit that can work in us to help us, to transform us. And so grant us a clean heart, grant us a new spirit. And if our joy has been diminished because of our sins, we pray that you would restore that joy to us once again, and then open our lips so that we would declare your praises, telling others of the great things that you've done in saving us from these sins. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.